Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get to our guest here, Stephen Moore, senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks and visiting fellow at Heritage Foundation, joins us each Monday, as he does this Monday. Stephen, great to have you back. We're in the home stretch here, I believe.
And we sure are. Hi, Annie. Good to be with you. I think the reason to answer your question about why is Joe Biden holed up is because, you know, it's just one gaffe after another. I think there was another one this morning where he said he was going to beat George in the election. I don't know what George he was talking about. But, you know, I think the big gaffe, of course, was what happened in the debate that, you know, Biden obviously won the first debate because of Trump's bad behavior. But the second debate was obviously almost a knockout punch by Trump. And certainly the problems that Biden has had, you know, he flips and he flops and he flips back and flops and flips every day on whether he's for oil, gas drilling or against it. Is he for fracking or against it? You know, and you just can't keep straight what his answer is. And of course, the answer, everyone knows that if Joe Biden were to, God forbid, win this election, we would shut down our energy production in the United States. And of course, that would greatly benefit Saudi Arabia and would greatly benefit China and Russia. So I think that's the answer to your question. I think that his campaign has realized the less Joe Biden says, the better.
You know, I had about four questions lined up for you. I think you answered all of them there in that one single statement, which is fantastic.
Okay. Well, it was great talking to you, Annie.
We'll talk to you next week. I wanted to ask you specifically about the fracking thing in Pennsylvania, because here in St. Louis, Missouri, you know, whether or not we do fracking or don't do fracking, I think that affects the entire country, but specifically to Pennsylvania, which might be the golden ticket to winning this election again.
That's right.
Tell me, explain what that means to people there, but then also how it fans out into the rest of the country, this issue of fracking and how that would drastically affect our economy.
So it's a great story. By the way, I wrote a book on this a number of years ago, about 5 years ago, called Fueling Freedom, The Amazing Story of America's Energy Comeback. And it is a great story. It's a made-in-America story, Annie. And basically, fracking and horizontal drilling, what I call the shale oil and gas revolution. Because do you remember, Annie, like 7 or 8 years ago, Barack Obama was running around the country saying, we're running out of oil and gas. Remember that? He said, we have to go to green energy because we're running out of oil and gas. So it's like, President Obama, we're not running out of oil and gas. We're running into it. We have so much oil and gas now in this country. We have more oil and gas than any other country in the world. And you add coal, we got 500 years with coal as well. And I know that in the area you live in, there's some coal towns around there.
Absolutely.
But, let's see. What do I say? So we've gone, because of this miracle of technology, made in America, fracking and horizontal drilling, where they go down 2 miles deep in the ground, and now they can go in any direction like a spider web. And that has made our drilling operations so efficient. And it's really turned around the country. I mean, in fact, we would not have had a recovery from the 2008 recession had it not been for the shale revolution, which really turned around our economy. We've gone from importing $200 billion of oil and gas a year from countries like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela and Iran and OPEC countries. Now we're actually a net exporter. Can you believe that? We're a net exporter of oil and gas now, which is a spectacular achievement that happened under Trump. And to me, I mean, really, of all the stupid ideas liberals have, and they have a lot of stupid ideas, I think the dumbest idea I've ever heard is that somehow we're gonna power this $20 billion industrial American economy. We make everything from cars to steel to you know, to technology, to food. All of this requires energy, and we're gonna power that $20 trillion economy with windmills. I mean, it is. You have to have your head examined to think that that's going to happen. And so we need to use our energy. And it has been huge in Pennsylvania. It's been huge in Ohio. It's been huge in West Virginia. It's been huge in North Dakota, Oklahoma, Texas. And why in the world would we want to go from the world's leading producer of oil and gas to shutting it down? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense to me.
Stephen Moore, since you know so much about this topic and since we're on it, how does America's energy independence realign our relationships with all these nations that we may not otherwise want to have relationships with?
Well, I mean, you always ask the best question, and that's a good one, too.
Stop it. I don't want to deal with all week long.
Yeah, so basically, it really is an important point, though, because we are, it's not just a matter of economic security, although clearly it is. I mean, do we really want to be, you know, sending dollars to Iran? Do we really want to be sending, money to Russia? Do we want to send money to the OPEC countries in Venezuela? Of course not. They're our enemies. So how stupid is that? We've been, you know, for 50 years, we've been providing money to our enemies who are trying to kill us. And now we're not doing that anymore. And of course, if you shut down oil and gas, we're still going to use oil and gas. We're just going to have to import it rather than producing it here. So I think it's a really, you know, fantastic point. And I wanted to, you know, Annie, you asked me, how does this affect places that are, you know, like Missouri, that are not necessarily, you know, energy-producing states?
That was my really great question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. That was a great question.
Thank you.
That was all right.
So Missouri is a major producer of agriculture, right? You have a lot of food production. Well, guess what? You know, a lot of people are, you know, in the Northeast don't really understand this. They think that the steak just gets on their table. You know, they don't know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, to produce, you know, grains and to produce beef and cattle and all of the things that, you know, put food on our table, guess what you need? Energy.
Right.
Energy is critically important for the fertilizers and all of this, you know, for our chemical industry, for our manufacturing. The fact that we now have, because I know you have a lot of manufacturing and light manufacturing in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the reasons that we've been kicking butt, you know, in terms of our industrial capacity is because guess what country in the world has the lowest price energy today?
That would be us, I'm guessing, guys.
That would be us. I mean, our in fact, and natural gas, by the way, explain this to me, guys. I mean, seriously, somebody explain to me why it is that we want to shut down our natural gas production. Natural gas, I mean, if you're an environmentalist, you got to love natural gas. Trump had this right. The major reason we've reduced our carbon emissions more than any other country, and we have, is because we're using natural gas, which is the price of natural gas, thanks to fracking, has come down 80%.
Wow.
So it's cheap. You know, we now have, what are you paying there for gasoline in Missouri? We pay $2.39 a gallon. I don't know what you're paying right
Missouri's
now, but
probably about $1.85 or so right now.
What's that?
Missouri's probably about $1.85. Illinois
$2.85.
Like
you're
that.
Below $2 a gallon.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Missouri, not in Illinois.
I gotta move to Missouri. So I mean, think about that. I mean, remember when we had seriously, folks. I mean, if you do the Biden energy plan and we're not producing oil, you know, we're going to be talking about $5 and $6 a barrel oil. $5 to $6 a gallon. That means instead of like, what do you pay? Like $25 to fill up now, you're going to be paying $40, $45 to fill up your tank. So, really, you can tell I don't really understand the logic of this. And people say, well, we have to do it to save the environment. Save the environment. China and India alone are responsible for 5 times more of the pollution than we are.
Yeah. Let me ask you about...
By the way, do you think China's really going to go with wind power? No.
Doubtful.
Right now, as we speak, China's building 50 new coal plants. So every time we shut down a coal plant in a place like Illinois, Missouri, or West Virginia, you know, China and India build 10 coal plants. How does that stop global warming?
Yeah, it doesn't seem as though they're nearly as concerned about it as the very far left, progressive left is here. Joe Biden's said multiple times he is not going to raise taxes on people who make less than $400,000 a year. And the Trump campaign says that's absolutely entirely false, that Joe Biden's financial plans for the economy if he were to get elected are absolutely going to raise taxes on I think 82% of Americans was the number I heard Ronna McDaniel say. What's the truth? Have you looked at Joe Biden's economic plans? Are we getting a tax hike even if we're not one of the wealthy $400,000 a year earners?
So, you know, I not only have I looked at Joe Biden's plan, I helped write the Trump tax plan, which we're very proud of, by the way. I mean, we had the economic boom after we put this, you know, the left loves to talk about science. Okay, here's a scientific experiment. Let's cut our taxes and see what happens. Well, we cut the taxes and the economy boomed. We saw the biggest reduction in poverty in the history of the United States. We saw the biggest income gains in the history of the United States. And all of a sudden, you know, they say, let's get rid of that policy. So, look, it was a big success. And the average family in America, you know, if you're earning, let's say, earning $60,000 a year, you saved roughly $2,000 a year in your taxes. So if you repeal the tax, then you're going to pay about $2,000 more. But there's a much more important point here than how much tax you're going to pay. You know, you may not be paying any tax. You know why? Because you're not going to have a job. You know, if you increase the tax on the American companies, you're going to hurt the employment of the American people and the job opportunities.
Yeah, it's such a stark contrast between these two. Yeah, you have a feeling, you got a vibe about what's going to happen here with the election?
You mean on the election?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, on the election? Yeah, Trump's going to win.
Trump's going to win.
I mean, so you can just feel it. I mean, the momentum really shifted after that second debate. You could just feel, you know, and the numbers that came across this weekend, you know, the polling numbers show a real shift in Trump's direction. The question, Annie, is it too little too late? Because, you know, I think like 30 million people have already voted. But, yeah, no, I feel it. I really do. And I was there in 2016, and you could feel the same thing. You could feel the energy. I mean, do you know anybody, Annie, who's actually enthusiastic about voting for Joe Biden?
Not a single person. Not one.
You know, they may hate Trump, but, you know, love conquers hate.
Okay. Well, we're gonna hold you to that. We'll speak to you again one more time next Monday before the actual election day. Stephen Moore, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Annie. Bye.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.